Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, it's Lee and Keys, Real Talk. We got this episode. It doesn't really matter what number it is. It's irrelevant. Lee's here. You know, we got it. We're about to roll. There's a lot of big fights that just got announced, and you know how we've been rocking. We just got to hit the ground one. Okay. We know we got to hit the ground running with it like we've been doing lately, and that's what we're going to continue to do tonight. So what's going on, bro? How you doing?
Oh, man, I can't complain, man. I'm good, man. Just ready to jump into this fire, man, especially after Saturday night with the main event ending the way it did. So, yeah, time to press on and get to all this good news.
Yeah, bro, I mean, they announced Chimaev, Nate Diaz is going for, MSG in November. They got that crazy card in Abu Dhabi October. That one is looking really crazy. I mean, I saw they just added, they got Sean O'Malley and Peter Yan over there. I saw they got, obviously, we have, you know, King Oliveira, you know, the undisputed lightweight world champion, Charles Oliveira, is going to defend his belt against Islam Makhachev. I think he's 23-1, going to make another title defense because he's the undisputed lightweight world champion, you know. So we're going to have that. They're saying it's a vacant title fight, but I don't really know what that means. That must be another language or something. I don't know what that means. So basically it's another title defense. We're going to have that. They just announced today, Sean O'Malley announced today he's fighting Peter Yan on that card. So that's insane. Because it's funny because we would just talk about that one. I feel like I've been said that the other day to one of my boys. I was like, yo, what if O'Malley were to fight Yan, man? That might have to be the one, because they were kind of chirping at each other. So I didn't think it happened, but hey, we're here. I saw they got Sean Brady's going to be fighting. I just saw that too. Sean Brady finally is going to, you know, have a fight. I haven't seen him have a fight in a while. He's fighting Bilal Muhammad. We're going to have that too. And then what was the other one? Oh yeah, Aljamain Sterling is going to be fighting my boy TJ, or our boy TJ Dillashaw, you know. Debatably the best man in weight ever, depends who you ask, at least one of them. And, you know, and some people, you know, they might even say, and I think it's fair, is to say, you know, these are two of the best man in weights ever, Aljamain Sterling and TJ Dillashaw. So I think that's fair as well. You know, I'm a fan of Aljamain Sterling. You know, we used to talk about him on the show back when he was unranked and nobody was watching his fights. You know, I know Lee remembers that. We were talking about him back then. So we're not going to act like – I mean, and that's the thing that I think gets misconstrued a lot of the time, especially when I have certain opinions towards guys. It kind of makes it seem like that I'm a hater on guys. It's not – it's just that I'm not going to – just because you're a fan of somebody doesn't mean you have to agree with everything that they say and do. You know what I mean? Like, I've never really subscribed to that. It's like, you know, that's the same way with, you know, my friends, my family. It's because, you know, someone's your family or it's your boy or, you know, it's a fighter you like, an athlete you like. It's like, you know, political candidate you like. Just because, you know, you support them, you're a fan of them, you voted for them, whatever, they're your boy, like, does not mean that you have to have, like, a yes-man attitude about them. You know what I'm saying? Like, there could be things – I could be a – you know, I could be a fan of Aljamain Sterling the whole time. You know, I remember even watching Peter Yan when he was unranked. I remember watching when he was, like, I think 1-0 or 2-0 in the UFC when he was unranked. I remember that, too. It wasn't someone that I was really checking for, but I remember watching him. And so that's what it is. There's things that I disagree with certain guys. Aljamain Sterling kind of, you know, made an ass of himself a little bit sometimes. You know, his reaction to things he comes out and says, I don't really agree with. You know, the way he goes about them. But, hey, at the end of the day, you know, the thing that made me a fan of him in the first place was watching his fights and his fighting style. And, you know, he stepped up before when he didn't have the striking as much, and he developed the striking. Before, it was like, you know, he had some striking, but, you know, he really had the wrestling. And then he kind of advanced, you know, his striking definitely leveled up, and he became even more well-rounded. You know, we remember a time where, you know, he fought Marlon Moraes probably 4 or 5 years ago. He got KO'd with that with that kick. You know, like people were looking at him crazy back then, Aljamain Sterling, because that was like one of the first big fights that he got. And then he got KO'd, and a lot of guys were like, oh, like he's not really that good and all this. And then look now how the tables have turned. I mean, not to bark on Marlon Moraes, but look at the difference in trajectory of those two guys. I mean, since that fight, really, like Marlon Moraes pretty much lost the majority of his fights after that fight. And then now I'm pretty sure he just retired because he was getting finished and like losing left and right, which I understand and respect it. But then in the opposite, since losing to him, Aljamain Sterling has almost do nothing but win. You know, I don't even know if he's lost. I don't recall if he has lost since that time. He might even be undefeated since that fight. And that was like 4 or 5 years ago. I want to say he has not lost since that time. And that's – so, yeah, that's just the way it is. I mean, but we got a lot of big fights. You know, we're Aljamain Sterling fans, but we're also TJ Dillashaw fans. So that's a tough fight, bro. That's one of those ones that I'm going to just have to watch it, you know, because at one point where it's like, you know, my subjective mind and my, you know, emotions are saying, oh, TJ got to, you know, TJ is going to beat him down. It's like, you know, I kind of just got to watch it because objectively I'm a fan of both guys. I really like to see both guys win, and it's just going to be one I'm going to have to watch it and let the better man win. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I think the one fight that out of all the fights that were announced, the one fight I probably can do without is probably the Nate Diaz Jamal fight. I just don't think that fight is going to be as good as it could be. I think Nate is dangerous on the ground, so Jamal will have to be careful with trying to take Nate down and submit him. But at the same time, it's like, man, Nate haven't won a fight in so long that it just seems like the competition has just passed him by, because it always seems like he's taking like year and a half between fights. It's like, and then when he comes back, he's fighting all these tough guys, Leon Edwards, now Chamar, then he was fighting Masvidal. It's like, bro, you can't be an inactive fighter and think you're going to come back and beat these tough guys. Although Nate is entertaining, he's going to be entertaining, you know, in the press conference and all that good stuff. But I'm just not excited about this fight. But I am super excited about O'Malley versus Yan. We've been asking O'Malley to take a step up in competition. Pedro Munhoz kind of, I didn't like the way that fight ended, you know, poking the eye, and, you know, they stopped the fight. But I'm glad he didn't rematch Pedro Munhoz. I'm kind of glad he didn't rematch Marlon Vera. Let Vera do his thing. I think he has a fight coming up. Marlon Vera does against Dominique Cruz, I think. I could be wrong. But I like that O'Malley isn't just taking a step up. He's stepping all the way up to, I want to say, Yan should be the number two guy in the division or the number one contender. So, man, this fight should be a good fight. And it'll let us know where O'Malley really at in this division. So I love it. I love this fight. As far as Oliveira versus Islam, I think one of my predictions, I think even you, one of our predictions was, I don't see Islam winning the title in 2022. So to stick with my prediction, what can he do to beat Charles Oliveira? Oliveira can strike better than him. You ain't just going to take Oliveira down and act like you just going to ragdoll him. That ain't going to happen. So what can Islam do or add to his game where he could come out and victorious in this fight? I think that's the one thing that we have to pay attention to during this fight, because if he has this coming out with the same old game plan, I don't even think this fight goes three rounds. I think Oliveira finishes him and makes it look pretty easy. The thing is, we got to hope that Oliveira comes in on weight in this fight. Come on, Oliveira. You got to get it together, bro. Me and Key's throwing a lot behind you. You know, we're saying that you're the best lightweight. You know, you on a historic streak right now, especially with the level of competition. So, come on, bro. You got to come in and make weight, man. Let's get it.
Yeah, he's definitely got it. I think he will. You know, this one, I mean, they're going to, you know, he's going out to Abu Dhabi. I just want to say, too, I respect that so much because I know they were trying to, I want to say Khabib said that he wanted it to be the opposite. I think he said before they made the fight that he wanted Islam to go out to Brazil to fight Oliveira, but now it's actually the opposite. Oliveira, you know, obviously going to their home turf, basically. So, you know, I respect that so much with Oliveira. And someone else, you know, the other day said how, and this is a great point. I mean, we know that he's been fighting. You know, he's been very active. I mean, also shout out to Oliveira again because I'm pretty sure he just won. Did he just win the ESPY for 22 Fighter of the Year?
Let me look it up real quick.
All right, look that up and confirm. I'm pretty sure I saw he won an award. I don't know who. I think it was an ESPY, but he got Fighter of the Year from somebody. And that was and well-deserved because it's not even really Fighter of the Year. He's Fighter of, like, the last 3 years, really. I mean, how many guys he has fought? I mean, someone said earlier they were like, wow. You know, I saw a tweet. I think it was yesterday I was looking at it. I saw a tweet. And it was like, wow, Charles Oliveira really has fought Tony Ferguson, Michael Chandler, Dustin Poirier, Justin Gaethje, and Islam Makhachev all in a two-year stretch. All in 2 years fought those five guys. That's insane. That's absolutely insane. Because, like, when you think about it, it's like he it's actually less. I'm pretty sure it's less than 2 years. He actually did it in – it's probably, like, more closer to, like, a year and 10 months because you really look at it, he's going to fight. I want to say he fought Ferguson the last card of the year in 2020. I think that was December 2020 he fought him, I want to say. It might have been November, but I'm pretty sure it was December 20 when he fought Ferguson. And he's about to fight the fifth of those five guys in October of 22. So that would make it less than 2 years. So he actually did it even in even less time. So, man, I'm not even, you know, obviously I want him to make weight. I mean, I'm thinking he makes weight. You know, I'm not going to think that he's not going to make weight. You know, I don't want to put bad vibes on my guy. You know, I don't want to put the bad situation into play. You know, I'm just going to think, all right, he's going to go in and make weight, and I'm going to be proud. You know what I'm saying? I mean, Paddy Pimblett was at the press conference today. I was just watching, well, it was either today. Yeah, it was probably today because I think Wednesday is usually the media day. And I was just watching it while I was eating dinner, you know, a little bit earlier. And Paddy Pimblett was saying that, obviously, he's talking about his fight this weekend, but they asked him what his prediction was for the fight, and he pretty much was kind of like saying how it seemed like he doesn't really like – he's like, Islam – he was like, has Islam even fought or beaten a ten, fought a top 10 guy? And then he went on to predict Oliveira to beat Islam and to stop him within 3 rounds. And that was a quick prediction. He didn't really take too much time on that one.
Yeah. But to go back on what you were saying, let's just put this in perspective real quick. Charles Oliveira hasn't lost a fight since June. The last fight he lost was December 2nd, 2017. And prior to this 11-fight win streak, he had lost four of his prior six fights. And I'm going to tell you the losses that he suffered in that little streak. Max Holloway, Anthony Pettis, Ricardo Lamas when he was a beast, and Paul Felder. Those are the four losses he had between August 2015 and December 2017. Now, let's look at the guys he done beat on this win streak. Jim Miller, Kevin Lee, Tony Ferguson, Michael Chandler, Dustin Poirier, Justin Gaethje. I don't even count Clay Guida, but Clay Guida's in there also. Nick Lentz. So it ain't like he's fought nobodies. This guy has been fighting names. So he did win the ESPY for best UFC fighter. He's best male fighter was won by Charles Oliveira. But Charles, when me and you used to talk about him, we used to say if he could just add a little bit of striking to his game, he will probably be unbeatable. Because if you could stop his takedowns, he didn't know what to do in there. He was like Damian Maya almost, whereas if you could stop him from taking you down, you basically could beat him. But now that he's added that striking, and he fights with a bunch of heart and energy now, the guy has taken his game to a whole nother level. And, wow, it just goes to show you that when you take that one thing that's considered a weakness and you make it a strength, how far you can go in this fight game, especially in the UFC. And that's what me and you've been talking about for years, is that one-trick ponies don't last long in the UFC. Because once they figure out that one trick, you in trouble. Once that one trick get figured out, you're in trouble. Damian Maya. Everybody figured out that if they don't let you take them down, you have no plan B. So, I love what Oliveira's doing. I'm kind of skeptical of this fight being in Abu Dhabi, you know, with Islam being fighting over there, especially, you know, a Muslim country. But Islam was willing to go to Brazil to fight. So I got to give him and Khabib some props on that. They wanted to fight him in Brazil. So I think all the pressure is on Islam, but I think my man Charles has to come in with the necessary fear and pressure on him as well to come in there and perform and do what he's been doing to win this fight. Man, you like to say if I had to pick this fight right now, I'm going with the Key Special, man. I'm going with Charles Oliveira. No, I'm going with the Lee Special, third round submission. I think he submits Islam. I think he hurts him with a punch, and he finishes him off the way he did Justin Gaethje. He hurts him with a punch, rolls him over, submits him. And that's how, I mean, if I had to pick it right now, I got the Lee Special, third round submission, Charles Oliveira. But Charles, please come in on weight, champ.
I mean, somebody said this, and, you know, to dive into that, what you're saying is, like, somebody tweeted this a couple of days ago, and I would have to agree with this, that they said that Charles Oliveira versus Islam Makhachev is, you know, the next generation or the new. It's basically like Khabib versus Tony Ferguson 2.0. It's like the next coming of that same style clash, because you really have Charles Oliveira, who basically has all the aspects that Tony Ferguson had in his prime. Like, he has everything prime Tony Ferguson had and better. Like, Charles Oliveira has what prime Ferguson had, but take that, you know, at least a couple steps further, because, you know, his submission game is far, far, far more dangerous. I mean, Ferguson, you know, was obviously dangerous on the mat as well, but I mean, Oliveira is the all-time, you know, submission champion in UFC history. I mean, no one's going to come close to his submission record for a long time. I mean, if you want to, you got to stop putting some serious work in on the mat, because he's way ahead of everybody. Like, you know, the second guy to him is Damian Maya, and he's like pretty, I don't know if he's retired or where he's at, but he's not going to be getting, you know, too many more submissions. I don't even know if he's been, if Danny Meyer's around, but obviously he's not getting, you know, I think he's got like 11 or 12 or something like that. And Oliveira's got like 20. So y'all got to stop putting in the work if you want to even get close to that. But yeah, this is like, you know, I agree with what they said. This is like the, you know, the new age Khabib versus Ferguson. I mean, it's the same style matchup. The Chaev is, you know, a quite similar fighter to the way Khabib was or is. And, you know, he does, you know, pretty much the same stuff. I don't know to this point. I mean, I can't tell you if he does it as well as Khabib. I don't really know if I'm going to tell you that. You know, I don't know if that's how I feel, but it's the same style clash between these two guys. So I could agree with that take. And, I mean, I think where a lot of people to say, you know, Khabib, okay, the big thing was always Tony submitting Khabib. That was always what people said. It was mostly, and that was something that we used to say, even when we would talk about that fight, you know, back when we thought it was going to happen. We used to always say, okay, well, we're not talking about the stand-up, you know, we're not talking about wrestling. Like, we're talking about Khabib taking Ferguson down. We're not talking about him stopping all the takedowns, keeping it. It was about him getting taken down and being okay with that, and then the work he could do being on the bottom and finding Khabib, you know, finding a submission from bottom position. That was always the narrative. That was always what we believed Ferguson would be able to do. That was at least what I believed. I mean, I want to say I remember both of us predicting that a few times when we thought the fight was going to happen. That's how we figured Ferguson would get it done. And I think that's a similar case with this fight, is that Oliveira, I mean, but it's even more dangerous. You know, Oliveira could definitely, that same scenario is even far more realistic than it was with Khabib and Ferguson. You know, the submission threat is even, you know, is probably at least five times, you know, than it would have been with Khabib and Ferguson. You know, if Machaev thinks he's just going to smash Oliveira, it's like, you know, you're in a very different fight than the ones you've been in. You know what I'm saying? You're not fighting Dan Hooker. Like, this is a guy that welcomes guys. This is a guy that welcomes guys jumping on top of him. Like, he's dying for somebody to do that. I mean, like, you look at when he fought Justin Gaethje, it was like, you know how I watched that whole fight smiling? Like, I had a smile on my face. I was definitely faded, man. I was out there. I was 20,000 feet high. You know, I was probably off the tequila that night, I want to say. But, yeah, I was smiling the whole time because it was like, okay, knock Oliveira down. Then Oliveira's kind of just waiting for Gaethje to just hop on. He was welcoming Gaethje to jump on top of him when the times when he did knock him down. And it's like Gaethje kind of knew, like, all right, let me not. Like, you could kind of see him, like, step. Like, he'd almost step in, but then he would stop himself and kind of walk himself back because he's like, wait. Like, let me. Because it's like, you know, it's probably. I can imagine if you're in there, it's probably instinct to jump on top of the guy and knock him down. Like, no matter what guy you're fighting or what type of, you know, style fight you kind of have on your hands, like, if you knock a guy down, you're probably thinking to jump on top of him. But then you don't, because it's like, you know, guys like Damian Maia, a guy like Charles Oliveira, they're dying for you to do that. You know what I'm saying? And it's so dangerous for you to put yourself in that position. Guys that just have crazy submission ability, man. Even like Demetrius Johnson, is like, you don't want to jump on top of him. You know what I'm saying? It's like, Demetrius Johnson, the way he submitted Ray Borg that's probably the craziest submission. That's probably the craziest submission I've ever seen. Like, that was probably, like, what, 5 years ago? Maybe four, five years ago? Yo, the way he submitted him was definitely the craziest submission I've ever seen. That was crazy, bro. He literally, I don't even know how that, like, position even happened, but it almost looked like he, like, it was like an air takedown or something. To me, DJ, like, body slammed him and then, like, landed into an armbar. It was the most bizarre, like, tussle of all time. But it looked like he knew that he was going to get it. Like, it looked like he knew that it looked like that was a move that he had in his tool belt. He knew that it's like, okay, this might be a little bit out there, but if the certain situation presents itself, I can probably get it done. That's because the way he landed it just looked so perfect. like when it happened, you all knew perfect scenario was nothing you could get out of. That armbar was, nasty, man. That was nasty. And so, yeah, I don't think Machado, I don't know. I mean, is he going to want to, is he going to just be like, all right, I'm going to smash this guy and just jump on top of Oliveira?
No. I think he's gonna do the same thing that Gaethje did. You have to be cautious when you go to the mat with Charles Oliveira. I mean, but what I did find out though, when I was looking at dug a little deep in Charles Oliveira's record, is that out of his 8 losses, 7 of them have been by knockout or submission. So he can be had via the knockout or submission. So, you know, but was he as good a fighter back then as he is now? I would say no. So, Islam, I don't think he gets it done against Charles. But I think he might, if some kind of way that Charles, you know, that a striker becomes a champion, I think Islam has a better chance against a pure striker than an all-around fighter. And that's the only way I see him winning the belt. So, but we'll see how it go, man. But let me ask you about this, man. I saw this the other day on ESPN, man. Henry Cejudo told Dana White he wants to fight Volkanovski, dog.
I was actually watching that interview, I think last night. I was listening to Henry Cejudo explain that. That's another guy, by the way. What I was talking about earlier is like, you know, I don't know if we agree on this point or not, but I mean, that's another guy that I'm a fan of Henry Cejudo. Like, I like to see, you know, I've been told, you know how many people told me that Marlon Moraes, like, and they even hyped it up like, oh, Henry Cejudo is going to move up to 135, fight, you know, Marlon Moraes, because Marlon Moraes was on a tear, at least at that time. Like, he was destroying guys up until that point. So I feel like the UFC kind of made it like, okay, he's just a, you know, knockout king. He's just going to, you know, run through Henry Cejudo. He's too small. Like, and then a lot of people kind of made it seem like that. You know, like, you think, you know, so that's another scenario where that's a guy that, at least for me, I'm a fan of Henry Cejudo, but do I agree with all of his, you know, things he has to say? And, you know, sometimes I think he's a little bit too arrogant, but, you know, I mean, he does get in there and back it up. So I can't really, you know, I can't really knock him too much for that. I mean, he does get in and win fights, and he does win pretty dominantly when he gets in there. So, I mean, him and Volkanovski would be, I don't know. I mean, he was saying that, you know, especially with the way I didn't get to see the fight. I think I was working that day. But, and they had the fights like really early on this past Saturday, the Ortega and Yair. I guess that one kind of ended in a, you know, weird way in the first round. So with the way that kind of went, I mean, Cejudo was saying he doesn't really know if the UFC will want to jump on, you know, having Yair fight for the featherweight belt next, because of the way that win was kind of, I mean, it looks a little bit fluky, you know. It wasn't really a, you know, a clean win, you know. I don't really know what to call that, but that's not really the way you want to win. And so he makes a good point with that. I mean, maybe there's an opening, but I mean, and when they were on camera, it looked like Volkanovski was down to make the fight. It's just the thing that I kind of question is whether the UFC is actually interested in making that fight. You know, I mean, if they wanted to do the fight, I mean, I don't really care. It doesn't really matter to me, because, you know, I could watch Volkanovski do anything. Like the Volcano, if he wants to keep fighting, you know, upcoming 145ers, you know, you still have Bryce Mitchell there. Obviously, Yair Rodriguez, you know, I'd like to see him get another win, because that was kind of weird. You know, you have, you know, Calvin Cater's there. You definitely have guys, you know, that are coming up at 145. So, like, if you want to keep fighting 145 guys, that'd be fine. Just avoid Max Holloway. You know, we already saw that. If he wanted to 155, I mean, I'd be fine with that as well. Seems like he's looking at the winner of the October fight, or if they wanted to do Cejudo and him. But I don't see that. It doesn't seem like, at least right now, that the UFC is really jumping at making that fight. So that's kind of where I'm at with it.
I am not a fan of cringeworthy Cejudo. You know, the stuff he do and he say on Twitter, I'm not a fan of that. But I would love to see this fight. I would love to see how Cejudo, how Volkanovski would handle Cejudo's always coming forward style. But it ain't just coming forward with punches. He didn't have to really fear too much from Holloway as far as being taken down, whereas it's totally opposite against Cejudo. Cejudo's going to come forward with punches, kicks, and the threat, a serious threat of taking you down. So, but the only thing I would hate if Cejudo was to win, well, he would be a three-division champ. We would never hear the end of it. We would never, ever, ever, ever hear the end of it. If we think champ Cejudo is bad, wait, if he was to beat Volkanovski, champ Cejudo would be the worst thing ever came up with. What would it be, four seeds then? So, no. It would probably drive me crazy if he was to win it, but I do think he posed a bigger threat to Volkanovski than Max did, because Max, basically his game is he's going to try to kill you with volume of strikes, you know, and kicks, but Cejudo is going to kill you with cardio, pressure, and wrestling. So it's a whole different style. But I wouldn't be mad if the UFC was to make that fight, especially the way the old Yair and Brian Ortega fight ended. Brian Ortega separated his shoulder trying to get out of a submission attempt by Yair. So, you know, he ended up getting injured. He couldn't finish the fight. He couldn't continue on the fight. So in a way, it is, I mean, you have to give Yair credit for that win, because his submission attempt forced T-City to try to do something to get out of it. He ended up hurting himself. So although it ended fluky, I just don't see Yair getting a title shot, because number one, he hasn't beaten Max Holloway, and they're going to look at the fluky end to the Ortega fight, although I think he should get credit for that. I think they'll just make him fight one more fight. And if you're trying to sell fights to people, you go with names. Cyril Cejudo is a name. So I wouldn't be mad about him and Cejudo coming back and fighting Volkanovski. But another fight that I'm looking at on ESPN is, I really don't want to see this fight either, Keys, but I'm going to throw it out to you, is Frankie Edgar has asked the UFC for a retirement fight against Dominique Cruz. I think this fight was a fight to make about 4 or 5 years ago when both guys were in their prime. But with Frankie being on such a downward spiral in his last couple fights and Cruz basically being kind of a part-time fighter, I just don't – this fight doesn't move the needle for me, man. You know, I would rather Frankie just go out, you know, go out with a whimper, you know, maybe him and Dana White do like a little, you know, IG kind of thing, and Frankie announces his retirement, and then, you know, Dana White says, well, Frankie, I know you retire, but, you know, the UFC would like you to stick around. We want you to be either fighter development or talent, you know, talent relations or something like that. But I'm a big fan of Frankie Edgar, and I really don't want to see him fight another fight. I'd rather just see him just go ahead and bow gracefully and, you know, go and work for the UFC, man. But he wants one more fight against Dominique Cruz. So how do you feel about that fight, Keith?
Yeah, that's definitely not a fight I would want to see because I just feel like that's not – it's just not the right fight to make because well, my thing is if Frankie's going to fight, I want to see him fight a guy that he's definitely going to beat. Like, I'm not watching guys go out knowing it's their last fight in a fight that we're not sure if they're going to win. Like, I'm kind of sick of seeing guys, like, retire off a loss. Like, that's kind of upsetting to me. Like, Cowboy Cerrone just had to retire on a loss. I'm pretty sure Jessica Eye just had to retire on a loss, and I heard she lost, like, badly. I don't like seeing, like, guys go out like that. Like, that's not...
Joanna
just retired off a knockout loss. It's like, come on, man. Like, if we think that, like, somebody... I mean, maybe they didn't know Joanna was thinking of retirement, so maybe that's why. I mean, maybe she was like, you know, if I win, I'll fight for the belt. If I lose, I'm done. But, so if you put yourself in that, you know, situation, that's kind of on you. But... If you know you're retiring, like Frankie's saying, this is my last fight. You know, Cowboy said, this is my last fight. Like, can we please get them, like, a favorable matchup the way you do for all these new guys? Like, you put these new guys in there versus complete cans. You know, I mean, I'm a fan of Meatball Molly. You know, you remember me writing articles about Meatball Molly. You know, I'm a fan of Molly McCann, but, you know, look at the last girl she fought, and I think even the girl she's fighting this weekend, it's like a big, you know, big lopsided, probably someone she's going to beat down. I mean, the last girl she fought was like pretty much looked like it was just set up for her to win. I mean, can we give, like, where are those matchups when guys want to retire? Like, can we give a match? I don't really like those matchups, but I'm saying if a legend like that, Frankie Edgar, is going to retire, or Cowboy, can we give them someone that they can go out on a win, man? It's like, you know, Cowboy's son is at the fight and his family. It's like, can they see him go out on a win, please? Like, why do we have to watch Cowboy get choked out, you know, and his son has to watch him and his wife get, you know, watch him get choked out and then retire? It's like, that sucks, man. That really sucks. Like, it just, it doesn't, I don't know, man. That don't seem like looking out for guys. Like, it's, and if Cowboy insisted, oh, I want to fight Jim Miller. It's like Jim Miller is still, you know, he's like 34. Like, he's still game. He's not like an easy win. You know, it's not a guy you're definitely going to beat. So that wasn't like a really one of those fights. And it's like, you know, if Cowboy was like, I want the toughest, you know, opponent, you know, if I'm Dana White, I would have been like, no, this is who you're fighting, and that's it. You know, you say you're, you know, you're retiring, this is the fight I like. That's what I would say, bottom line. If I'm Dana White, that's what I would say. I don't care because – they're saving those kinds of fights for the new coming guys. Where are those fights when guys want to retire? Can we have them get one moment instead of, you know, them getting, you know, moments made off of them for these guys that are coming up? Like, that's what they do when they're on their way down. They try to have new guys make moments off of them. Why can't they get one of those moments when they're retiring? Like, when is it coming back on the back end? You know what I'm saying? So,
yeah.
If that's the case, I absolutely don't like Frankie Edgar versus Cruz because I just feel like Cruz is going to outclass him very badly. Cruz is in a good place right now. I know not everybody believes me on that, but he definitely is. He's in a good place, and I just think he's going to be a lot sharper than Frankie in there, and I think that would be a lopsided fight. I don't think that's – and it's not one that I think he would win. I think there's probably, you know, a 5% chance that Frankie could beat Cruz, you know, right now. And I don't want a 5% for him. I want like a 98% for him. You know, give him, you know, somebody that you know he can get a win off of. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's how I feel about that. I don't know.
I kind of sort of agree because I think you have to look at it as look at who's Frankie has fought. He won the belt from BJ Penn, which nobody thought he could do. Then he turned around and beat BJ Penn even worse in the rematch. Then He fought Gray Maynard in a trilogy fight, in a trilogy series. And those are two of the come from behind fights that he showed so much heart in. And, you know, he was the smallest guy probably to ever win a title at, what, 155, 145? What was that, 145? It was 145. So, but, man, it's kind of tough, man, because, you know, when we look at guys like Frankie and we look at what they've done for the sport, I think the UFC will probably give him the Dominique Cruz fight. But on with you. Get a man a layup going out. Get a man a layup going out, and let's celebrate him. I thought they was giving, I don't know why Cowboy was so hell-bent on fighting Jim Miller. Miller was on a winning streak. He's definitely re-energized himself in the UFC. And Cowboy doesn't perform when he is supposed to win. Every time he is supposed to win a fight, he gets dominated. Like, when he was, every time he will fight for the belt, he get dominated. Didn't show up against Leon Edwards. Didn't show up against Conor McGregor. Just got choked off by Jim Miller. It's just like, man, what's going on? Every time he will fight for the belt, he put on a lackluster performance. But Frankie, I think the UFC gives him Dominique Cruz. I'm probably thinking that probably behind the scenes, they're probably telling Frankie, hey, what about this guy? What about this guy? What about this guy? Let's how you fight this guy. So I'm hoping that he come to his senses and go with what Key said, take a guy that he's supposed to beat, and he can go out the right way instead of seeing everybody that retires always go. It seems like lately they all go out on losses. I don't remember the last person that retired in the octagon that went out with a win. I can't remember the last person that did that. Was it Daniel Cormier? No, Daniel Cormier went out on a loss to Stipe. Yeah, I can't remember the last person that went out with a win, man. So, but Keys, I just saw another fight that just was announced for UFC 280 in October. Beneil Dariush is going to fight Gamrot at UFC 280. This card is looking like this might be the card of the year. Dariush has been added to it. He was supposed to be next in line to fight Islam, but something kept happening with that fight that it fell through. So we get Beneil Dariush versus Gamrot at 155 at UFC 280, man. How you feel about that one?
I love the fight. I mean, I just – I'm wondering, like, did they just announce the whole main card in, like, a three-day span? Is that what just happened? Because that's crazy. I mean, I love it, but it's just that looks like the main card right there. I mean, you have Oliveira versus Machaev, main event. Sterling versus Dillashaw, co-main. Jan versus O'Malley is the feature fight. Dariush versus Gamrot, second up. And then Muhammad versus Brady, first fight on the main card. That's your main card right there.
I can't be mad about that.
Listen, if they even move one of those fights to the prelims, I'll be so annoyed. I'll really be so annoyed. You know what will be the word, bro? If they even move a single one of those fights, like, even if they move, like, Sean Brady and Bilal, like, or because that's probably what they would do. They'd probably move that, or they would move, the other fight we were just talking about, the other fight that's right there. They would move one of those first two fights down. And you know what the word would be? Disgruntled. That would be the worst.
Damn, disgruntled, huh?
Disgruntled. Okay. If they were to move any one of the fights or move anything, like just keep it exactly how it is. I don't want to hear nothing. I don't want to hear any changes to anything. Everything has to stay the same. Exactly the way it is, the exact order. No moving nothing to the prelims. No bullshit. No cutting off fights. Everything's going. I don't care. If they miss weight, have them still fight. I don't want to hear nothing. I don't want to hear nothing. Everyone's fighting, and that's just that. If it's the title fight, you know, I know they're going to, you know, I know how it is with missing weight there, but if it's the bottom three fights and dudes miss weight, please just keep the fight going. Please just keep the fight. Can we have the three fights, please? Can we get those three fights, even if they miss weight? Because I think we'd all love to see it. We'd love to have those three fights. I think we've been good this year, you know. I think, you know, during the drought period, you know, there was that pretty bad drought that we were talking about, you know, a couple months ago. There was really no fights to look forward to for a period of time. I mean, if it wasn't for Oliveira fighting Gaethje, like, that was the only thing that even kept, like, that period of time, you know, even that, the only thing that even had any excitement to it, you know, there was April, then May and June were kind of just dead. There was just nothing happening. So we just need those three fights. If we could just keep them, please and thank you.
Yeah, man. I like Bonil not sitting and waiting. I like him fighting. I think this guy has definitely rediscovered himself. He beat Tony Ferguson, but did he really beat Tony Ferguson? You know what I mean? I thought, you know, it wasn't like he was dominating or wrestling Tony to try to submit him or anything like that. It seemed like he was doing a lot of man-humping in that fight, in my opinion. But he did enough to win the fight. I can't take that away. But I wanted to see him fight Islam, but that fight not going to happen. But he's definitely about to fight a very game Gamrod. I think that's how he says, Gamrod. But I think he's going to really, really be in a tough fight against this guy. Now, depending on
Gamrod, you know, they just had a banger, man. Gamrod,
yeah.
I still got to watch the full fight, but I'm pretty sure I watched some highlights from it, and that was a banger, bro. That Armin Saryukin.
Yeah.
Saryukin? Armin Saryukin and Gamrod, bro. I was watching the highlights. Those dudes threw down, bro. That was crazy. Those dudes went crazy in there. And I was like, wow. I was like, damn, the lightweight division is so good. I can't believe this. The lightweight division is so good, man. It's like the moment when you think that welterweight is like right behind lightweight, then you get that fight and you realize that welterweight is like probably not even close to lightweight, like really. Like even if we don't even know if it's in second place for the divisions right now, but at one point I thought it was. But even if it is in second right now, because welterweight does have a lot of bangers coming up. You just got Chimaev. You got Burns is probably going to have a fight in a minute. And Burns said he's also going to be on weight and everything in case somebody falls out for that fight. And Usman and Leon Edwards are about to fight. Obviously, Bilal and Sean Brady are about to fight. So welterweight's crazy too, but it's that kind of fight that makes you think, is 170 actually that close to lightweight as we might think?
I'm going with bantamweight as a second. I think bantamweight is super stacked with Aljo, Jan, PJ, Aldo, Dominique Cruz, Marlon Vera, Sean O'Malley, Corey Sandhagen. You know, I think bantamweight is really, really deep. So I will go with bantamweight being second behind lightweight. But lightweight is just top heavy, though. So when you look at the top of lightweight, you got Oliveira, Dustin, Gaethje, Islam, Chandler, you know, Tony Ferguson, who just lost. But to me, they have a good 1 through 8, but then between 9 through 10 isn't as deep as bantamweight. You know, I think bantamweight is super deep going through like all the way up to like number 12. So I think bantamweight is right up there with lightweight right now.
Oh yeah, that's yeah. I mean, you look at this card, it's two of the fights are, you know, top lightweight fights, and then two of them are top bantamweight fights. So it's that, I mean, that tells it all right there. And we're saying this is, you know, likely about to be card of the year. So it's, yeah, I could definitely get down. I mean, I was saying the other day, I mean, that's probably when I really go through it. I mean, like I said, you know, if this was a year ago, I was saying 155, then 170. But then in that year's time, yeah, I could definitely get down with that, you know, because I was telling someone the other day, it is, you know, it's either 135 and then 155 or 155 and 135. So whichever way you want to go with that, because they're both fire. They're both absolutely crazy. And 145, you know, is mostly interesting for me because of Volkanovski. If it wasn't for that, I mean, that division doesn't really, you know, it's not really blowing the roof off for me. I mean, there's definitely some guys I like to see there, but it's just not. 135 is, like, heated, man. The thing that 155 and 135 both have is the competitiveness. Like, that's a big thing in both these divisions right now, is you have all these guys that want to get the fights made. They want to fight each other. They want to talk trash to each other. They all feel they're the best in the world. They all feel, you know, they're going to take the belt off each other. Like, that's what I want to see, man. I don't need – when I say I like trash talk, I don't need guys to be, you know, insulting each other's wives and religions and, you know, background. Like, I just want to see competitiveness. Like, I want to see guys saying, like Usman was, you know, the talk Usman was talking the exact talk to Leon Edwards at their press conference. Usman was like, tell the people how you're going to get it done. Explain to the people how you're going to get it done. I just don't see where are you going to get it done. Like, that's the kind of talk, that's the attitude that I want to see Usman have. You know, I want to see Aljamain Sterling have, like, all the champions. Like, I want everybody, Oliveira, you know, I want Oliveira, and he, I feel like he does. Like, I know he's confident in himself, and I want every champion to feel like that. Like, even if I don't like them, you should feel like you're the best, you know? Even if I'm not too much of a fan of you, you should feel that you're the best every time. If you don't think you're the best, well, I can't say for certain that you're in the right place. I don't know if fighting in a cage is for you. You know, you should definitely think you're the best. You should want to be the best, because this is not, I don't think this is a sport where you should go in and be timid. You know what I mean? I don't think you should go in timid. It's one thing to be calm, you know, on some out of war, you know, was it Sao Su? No, I'm not sure if I did that one, but it's cool. Yeah, it's cool to be on some Art of War shit and you just go in calm and you're actually a warrior. Like, that's one thing, but a lot of these guys, I can't really tell if they think that they're capable of, like, being the best, because these divisions, they don't even vocalize. Like, they don't say anything, and it just, that to me, it just, I'm sorry, it doesn't move the needle for me. When you've got guys just sitting back and they're like, oh, we're going to fight, you know, on this date, and, you know, that's what it is. Like, that doesn't make me want to watch you fight, bro. Like, I don't care about that. I want to see you saying your wrestling is not better than mine. Like, you know, I like, you know, it's, even though we criticize Khabib, I like the fact that Khabib, you know, when he was coming out, is smash your boy. I'm going to smash everybody. I want guys to come out and say stuff like that. Like, that's the way you should be. Like, you should say, I'm going to come out and dominate. Like, Cejudo's doing that now. He's trying to get the Volkanovski fight. What's he doing? He's saying, you know, I'm definitely going to be, you know, he sounds 100% confident that he's going to be the first, you know, three-way world champion in history. That's the way you should be. You know, I don't think you should be coming on there and being like, I don't know what I'm doing, and you seem like a fish out of water. It's like, oh, I'm going to go in there and fight, and we'll just see what happens. No, that is not it. that ain't it, man. And maybe if it is for you and you're the fighter, then cool. But don't expect me to be excited by it. Don't expect me to be thrilled that you have no, you know, life in you. You have no excitement about your own career. Like, and you don't have any fire inside you. Where's the fire? You know what I'm saying? You should want to be the best. And all these guys feel they're the best. If you look at 135, all these guys, Jan constantly, you know, asserting that he's the best. TJ, you know, he's always vocal in his interviews that, you know, he feels he could be the champion. He thinks he's still the best. Aljamain Sterling, always chirping that everybody thinks he's the best. Cejudo always thinks he's the best. Sam Higgins kind of quiet, but I know he's, you know, confident in himself when he does speak. Merab comes out. You know, I know he's confident in his abilities. I can tell. Like, I know that these guys want to fight each other. You know what I mean? That's what I want to see. Chandler, Poirier, McGregor, Oliveira, Islam Makhachev. Like, all these dudes come in there, and they're like, you know, you see Poirier and Chandler, like, kind of going back and forth that whatever that fight was. You saw them on camera? Like, Poirier was.
Yeah.
I never seen Poirier like that before. Have you?
Keys, I think Poirier now, he's kind of doing something that's out of character to me. Poirier was never the guy that talked or, you know, talked his way in the fight so it did anything. Poirier was always the guy that kind of sat back, fought his way to the top. But now he's kind of changing his persona a little bit. He's always on Twitter now. He's always verbally sparring with other fighters now. It's like, yo, what's going on, Dustin? I think Dustin has figured out that, yo, maybe if I add a little more spiciness to, a little more edge to myself, you know, maybe I can get to this place. But no, Dustin, be who you were, man. Be who you were when you fought your way to the top. Be who you were when you got the interim belt. Be the guy who fought for the belt, you know, tried to unify the belt against Khabib, and then just tried to take the belt from Oliveira. I don't like this new side of Poirier, man. It seems like he's trying to be somebody he's not, and I don't like it. But maybe, you know, it's part of a plan of his. I don't know. But speaking of bantamweight, Keys, let me tell you, I'm looking at the division right now. Number one, Aljamain Sterling is set to fight T.J. Dillashaw. Okay, T.J. Dillashaw, number three, is fighting Aljamain Sterling. Jose Aldo, number four, is going to fight Merab, who's number seven. Marlon Vera is number six. He's going to fight Dominique Cruz, who is number 10. Then we got Corey Sandhagen is fighting Sung Yeon Dong September 17th. So bantamweight, they are really getting it on. For some strange reason, me and you didn't talk about this fight that I just saw. Brandon Moreno is fighting Kai Kara France July 30th. Oh, my goodness. Me and you are both fans of Brandon Moreno. But I would love for Kai Kara France to win this fight so we could see him against Davison Figueiredo. I still don't know how Davison Figueiredo won that last fight against Brandon Moreno. I don't know what fights the judges were watching, but I wouldn't mind seeing Kai Kara France get his chance at the champion, and let's see what he can do. And that fight is July 30th. But the bantamweights, they are going at it. They are fighting each other. They aren't hiding from each other. They are out to prove who the best is, and I love it, and I'm here for it. Let's go bantamweights.
Man, that's the way it should be. I don't know. I mean, my thing is, I don't need everybody to agree with me. It's okay. Like, it's, you know, I don't, a lot of times, the reason why I don't debate, I mean, a big reason why I don't debate much at all anymore when it comes to fights. I used to, you know, jump into a lot of debates on Twitter and give my opinions on things. A big reason why I don't, at least, is because when you debate, people are looking for you to agree with them. Like, they want you not only to say they're right, but just to come to a point where you guys feel the same way. And there are things that I'm just not going to feel the same way with people on, and I'm not really willing to – I don't want to hear your perspective because I know what I'm looking for. And what I want to see, the way that I am, is I want you to be competitive and get me excited for your fights. Like, so I'm not going to sit here and debate with on Twitter that just want to hear guys say that, you know, their fight is booked for a certain date and then go ghost until the fight happens. Like, I'm not interested in a guy that is going about his business that way. Like, I want to at least see that, that person at least show that there's some excitement. Like, at least show some kind of life. Like, that, I don't know. Like, can we anticipate the fight a little bit? Like, you know what I'm saying? So, yeah, I just, that's the way I am, man. I need something to get me intrigued. I'm not just going to, you know, watch guys that don't even seem like they're interested in themselves. Like, that's just not, I have no time for that in my life. So, yeah, that's why I don't really debate a lot, because I'm not, you know what I mean? I know what my preferences are, and I'm just not willing. I know the things that I'm firm on, and it's just, it is the way that it is. So, yeah, that's thought. Go ahead.
And that's the premise of this show. That's how this show came together. Man, Keys used to go back and forth on Twitter with our DC John Jones takes. You know, we just debated each other, but in friendly fashion. It was never nothing hurtful or, you know, demeaning. You know, and sometimes you have to agree to disagree. And man, I think we talked about this the last show about John Jones and what Ngannou said about John Jones, which I understood what you were saying, but I concentrated on what he said about, you know, the five title defenses or whatever. And I'm sitting here like, man, y'all got a long way to go. But that really wasn't what Francis was saying. He was basically calling John an actor. That, you know, John is like sitting behind his keyboard where everybody else is jumping in the octagon getting busy. So, you know, I sat back and I read it. And, you know, it was a good take by Francis. But at the same time, you know, I'm a John Jones fan. And I was just, all I concentrated on was those five title defenses. And I kind of harped on that. Then me and you went back and forth probably about two or three tweets. And, you know, then you was like, Lee, he just talking about, you know, read it again. He, you know, he talking about John being inactive, blah, 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 blah. But I focused on another part of the tweet. So, but, you know, man, I don't really debate anymore on Twitter either. You know, I might ask a question. Like the other day, the guy said Volkanovski has to be the fastest fighter and well-rounded fighter in the game today. And I was like, damn, did Demetrius Johnson retire? Man, what happened to DJ? I mean, DJ's still fast. DJ's still well-rounded. I mean, even though the guy he fought, you know, made him look bad in the last fight, but I still remember DJ being just as fast and just as good. So, but, yeah, man, you know, I really don't debate that much anymore on Twitter. You know, I save all my energy for our show. That's why we came up with this show, so we can give our takes on our show. So if people want to debate us or ask questions, come to our show and ask us, and we'll give you all the smoke you want.
Hell yeah, you know, and it's and one thing that I'm not going to debate you on, because I don't really care, is, you know, I believe myself to be an extrovert. You know, I speak my truth as much as I possibly can. I live my truth as much as I possibly can. That's the life that I believe in at 26 years old. That's what I want to do. And I think that's the right way to live. And so I want to see guys express themselves, you know, when they're in there. I want to see guys act more that way. I don't like when, it's not admirable from, like, I don't admire anybody that's really concealing everything. Like, when you're not showing anything, it kind of susses me out. I don't really know where you're at, and I can't tell what you're thinking. So that doesn't really, you know, that doesn't move the needle for me, especially where you're going to go fight in a cage. It's like, literally, we're going to go fight. It's like Kobe Covington said. It's like, we go fight in the cage, and we're going to take each other's brain cells. Like, why are we fussing about, like, saying mean words? And it's like, I get what he's saying, you know? I totally get it. Like, obviously not everything he says do I agree, you know, do I like either. But, you know, I do like him as a fighter, and I think he makes a lot of good points. But overall, yeah, if you want to come up, you know, we're always down to debate. But certain things like that, I got nothing for you, because I want to see fighters that believe in themselves. If you don't like to see guys believe in themselves, I think that's a you problem, and I'm not going to try to help you fix that. You just got to go figure that out on your own. So that's where we at with that, baby. Thank you all for listening. Appreciate you. You know, miss us with the weirdo shit, like always. Miss us with the weirdo shit 2021. Miss us with the weirdo shit 2022 and 23. And, yeah, that's it. I think it was a great show. We covered a lot. We'll get to, you know, the one or two things we might have missed next week, most likely. And, yeah, that's all I got. The floor is yours, bro.
Yeah, man. Man, we still didn't get a chance to talk about Valerie Laveda, but that's okay. She's in WWE. Hopefully they do good with her. They do right by her. I'm looking forward to seeing how she comes around into being a pro wrestler. You know, especially with Shayna Baszler and Ronda Rousey already being there, who have they starts in mixed martial arts. But that's neither here nor there. Another great show, me and Keys, Wednesday night, Hump Day edition. You know, we covered a lot tonight, bro. We touched on all the fights that were announced. Looked like UFC 280 might be the pay-per-view of the year so far, especially with the card building up the way they're doing it. It's fourth quarter, so UFC has to ramp it up for October, November, and December to end the year strong. And I'm going to go out on the record right now to say that the last pay-per-view of this year, it will be John Jones versus Stipe Miocic. I think we get that fight in December. I think both guys will come in great shape. You have the greatest light heavyweight champion fighting the greatest heavyweight champion. So I think we get that fight in December. But in all ways, the end of the show, take care of yourself. Take care of each other. Hey, live your life to the fullest every day. Ride this mother till the wheels fall off. If the wheels fall off and you can get them fixed and keep on riding. So Lee and Key signing out. And always, we end the show with a pay.